Good morning. Oh, that we might mature in Christ, huh? Isn't that something, you know, in our life, our walk with God, that we want to grow. We want to grow up. And but we could have all the ingredients, you know, we could have all the know all the ingredients, how to grow up. And if we do not drink of it and eat of it, eat and drink Christ daily, he says, right? If we do not eat and drink Christ daily, how can we grow? Okay. I guess the subject for this morning... What sharing is music, is the subject of music. It's, you know, as I look at the subject of music, I see it's big. It seems huge. Seems like there's so much you could learn about it. And you know, just my own personal quest, journey on looking at music. You know, it's a pretty controversial subject. There's much being said about it out there today. And we live in a music-soaked world, right? And hey, we love music. We love music. We're musical beings. And we were created in the image of God. And He loves music. Too. It was originated by Him. Music in its purest sense was originated by God. But you know, when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, or we would call it the nitty-gritty, or the practical ways of living out and distinguishing what is good music and what is bad music, you know, as I look at it, I see that there's three areas. Maybe you could look at it as we look at music. We could say that is ungodly music. You know, it's like that's clear, that's evident, it's bold. I mean, ungodly music. And then we have, well, where we might put in the category of hypocritical music, which comes closer home to us. Right? We sing something that is not even truthful in our own lives. We see others that doesn't even live a life that is anything near or to what is a disciple of Christ, but then they sing what we would call truths. Hypocritical. And then you have the other area of what we call mixed music, where we take truth and lies and mix it, and it equals lies in the end, right? And I don't know which area you find yourself in more, that is coming more closer home to you as you look at music. But as we look at this subject, we want to hear what God's Word has to say about it. And I want to say right here at the start that I am in no way a scholar on this era of music. I'm still learning. I'm desiring to grow in it. And I don't want to dodge the subject, walk around it. I want to learn about it, and learn what's truth about it, receive the truth, what is lie, you know, put it in the garbage bin and take it to the roadside. And if there's anything I share this morning and you're not sure what I meant with it, or you have a question about it, I open my life for you to come. I don't know if they're going to open a question time at the end, or if you want to come and see me afterwards and ask me about it, or talk to me about it, or even a correction. I want to open my life for that. Well, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Now as we look at the Word of God, please, look at it for what it's saying. Not look at it for how many times it's been misused. Even this very scripture that I just read, right? It's been misused and been used as a way to try and stick something on us, to lead us to a certain direction, to maybe adhere more to what we would say is tradition than what is actually truth. As we read scriptures this morning and we look at it, let's look at it for what it is in its purest sense, with an honest heart. So in 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God." Study, that takes diligence. Unto God, to show yourself approved unto God. That is our first and foremost area where we want to seek approval from. Even in the area of music, is unto God. "Approve unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." 2 Timothy 2:15. And then in Ephesians 5, he said, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light." Speaking to believers, "Ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." Not what is acceptable unto man. Not what is acceptable unto the enemy. Not what is acceptable unto me, but what is acceptable unto God. And you know, we ask ourselves, well, are there things that are acceptable unto Him? Yes, there is. Is there things that are not acceptable unto Him? Is there music that is acceptable unto the Lord? Definitely. Is there music that is not acceptable to the Lord? For sure. For sure. There is music that is not acceptable unto the Lord. And we ask ourselves, well, how are we going to know? How are we going to know what music pleases Him? And many would say, well, the Bible doesn't really say much about music. The Bible talks a whole lot about music. And the Bible has principles in which we use to gauge our life in any area, not only in the area of music. And we want to know, you know, what music motivates us towards a closer walk with Jesus Christ. And what music does not. We want to know what the truth is. And truth isn't complicated. Truth is not complicated. Whenever you find the truth, and you truly look at it, you'd be like, it's simple. Truth is simple. It's like, yeah. Right? It's not complicated to walk in it. It's hard sometimes to walk in truth because of our nature and our flesh and our inclinations. But it's not complicated to walk in truth. And we want to know what's the heart of God in this. You know, what constitutes godly music? Well, in that same Ephesians 5 that I was reading from, if you jump down in verse 15, it says, "Seeing then that you walk circumspectly," meaning carefully, "not as fools, but as wise." And this morning we were encouraging that again too, in the Bible study. We don't want to walk circumspectly, right? We want to walk circumspectly, carefully. Not as fools, not to be deceived, but as wise. "Redeeming the times, because the days are evil." And so we live in an evil age, an evil era, a time of life that we're living in today. Verse 17 said, "Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding," meaning get to know what the will of the Lord is. So is there a will as it pertains to music? Is there a will for God, a Lord, like the Lord's will as it pertains to music? Is there things that is good? Is there things that is acceptable? Is there things that is pleasing, perfect? Romans 12 verse 2 says, right? We want to prove what is that good and acceptable and pleasing, perfect will of God. We want to notice as it pleases Him. We want to seek His approval in it. We want to look at Him to give us guidance in this area and see where it violates biblical principles and where it does not, where it leads, it based on biblical principles. The Bible, we heard that this morning too, we were reminded again this morning in the Bible study that the Bible should be our standard of authority. That's where we want to match it against. Anything we look at in life, right? We, as Christians, little Christ, followers of Christ, we use His Word to give us guidance, direction, as we look out in life. Jeremiah 51 verse 27a says, set up a standard in the land. Blow the trumpet among the people. And we know that if we do not set up a standard in the area of music, in our lives, in our homes, in the church, if we do not set up a standard, he said, the enemy will come in like a flood. Tsunami. But the Word of God also says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, I will set up a standard. And we want to blow a trumpet. We want to raise a flag in any areas of our lives that we see there's a flood coming in. I mean, and when I say a flood, I mean a detrimental one. We want a flood of the Spirit. We want a flood of truth. We want a flood of life, you know, and the power of God comes in. We want a flood of reality to come into our lives. And so I'm speaking about a flood in the negative sense here. Right? And we, as we look at it, in the area of music, specifically, that's the context this morning, we want to bring man up to God's standards, right? We want to bring man up to God's standard, and not man, you know, and not bring God down to man's standard. And we got to be very careful in that area of our lives. We want to go up to His standard and meet His criteria, if you want to say it that way. Then bringing it down, lowering it. See, there's a battle going on. There's a battle going on. We cannot just fold our arms and say, well, in the area of music, no. No problem. No issues. You're a battleground. The Word of God tells us that, right? It shows us that we are a battleground. The enemy, but put it this way, God designed music, right? And when I say music, God designed music, I'm not just talking singing. But instrumental music, accompanying instrumental stuff, was in heaven also, and is, and will be. God designed music in its purest sense. And He gave it to us, the gift of it, so it could encourage, bless, edify. Don't you find it does that in your life? Don't you find that? Yes, that's what it does. To edify and also to worship. Right? And Satan knows this. He knows this. And you look at it in Ezekiel. You know, chapter 1, it talks about the cherub, and then chapter 4 and chapter 28, it talks about this cherub being, right? And then in Revelation 4, you could also see about the cherubins, what they were doing. They were there with the elders, and these guys were playing their instruments. And they were singing, loud singing too, by the way, if you didn't know, right? But Lucifer, that's the part I was after here, this light bearer that God created, he
He was a musical being. Seemingly, he was one that led in it, right? He was like the moderator, so to speak, in this thing. So he knows about it. He knows about music. And he knows the value and the effects of godly music. Now, why wouldn't he want to distort it? Why wouldn't he want to cause havoc? Why wouldn't he want to bring deception through it? Why wouldn't he want to bring lies through it? To get you and I deceived. And we would say, and just take it easy in our lives, in the era of music. You know, I'm just sharing that as an encouragement. I'm not hitting you over the head about that. But can we not look at it? Can we not, you know, evaluate it and see, yeah, enemy is out for me. Watch the large-scale deception, right? As we look out and we see deception, and I think we need to stop and use the mirror more than how we use the magnifying glass and the telescope, and you know. But sometimes we do that to refer to what the wolf is out there, right? Any man that wants to, a true father that wants to keep his home, he's gonna point at the wolf out there. The wolf out there, you know. And the big wolf is Lucifer, Satan. So we got to be on the lookout. We want to watch. And we don't want to allow ourselves just to, in a lackadaisical state, take it easy and drift. Drift with the world. Drift with its ideas and its tendency and its whatever. Drift with the world. We don't. We wanna be those that support godly music, those that promote godly music, and that is a part of our lives. I said we live in a world today that is soaked with music. We can't live without it. We gotta have a little bit of music here, hearing some singing, you know, and some good music, and we find it within ourselves. It comes out. It comes out. So, there's also this thing where you hear today that they say music is amoral. A-M-O-R-A-L. Right? Which is saying that music is neutral. There's nothing good with it. There's nothing bad with it. With music. You hear that. And it's just a matter of personal taste. You know? It's just a matter of what you like and what I like in preference. But music is not amoral. It is not. It affects us. Now, with saying that, I also want to throw in a little note in there that there is such a thing as neutral. Right? Maybe an example of that would be A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. Is that good? Is that bad? We would say that's neutral. Right? We'd say that's neutral. I just did a little injection there. But music isn't amoral. It is not something of, in its general sense, right, that I'm talking here about. It is not amoral. It's not. Well, music in its purest sense was originated by God, not by man, not by Satan. It's a part of who God is, as I said before. And God didn't just recently came up with music, by the way, if you didn't know. He didn't just recently came up with that. He surrounded himself with it. He surrounded himself with it. Read the Word of God. He surrounded himself with it. From before, today, and in eternity. And you and I, musical beings, we're going to join in that musical moment, those musical moments with Him throughout eternity. Right? Music is a tremendous way of us expressing the deep feelings of our hearts to God. He tells us that the Lord sing also in Zephaniah 3:17. He said, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy.
He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing. And you read it in an other translation than the KJV, like the ESV or the NLT. You read that verse, Zephaniah 3, verse 17. It says that He will joy over you with singing, with loud singing. Huh? We'd be like, huh? That's inappropriate. Well, godly music reveals God's character. It reveals His nature. And He does it through music. That's one of the channels in which He does it. We're attracted to singing, and that's why we respond to it. Right? We respond to it. It is not amoral. We respond to it. It's not neutral. Music, Walter Landor says, quote, "Music is God's gift to man, the only art of heaven given to earth. The only art of earth that we will take to heaven." So, as we look at music this morning, I just want to share little encouragement here and there and things where I had found in my own life in areas where I could draw a line and where I could distinguish between godly music, ungodly music, hypocritical music, and music that is lies. And one of the first and foremost thing, you know, as we think about music, it is to praise and glorify God. It is to praise and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. It is to praise and glorify what we call the triune God. Right? Not man. Not man. And we might think, well, that's yeah, duh, for sure. If it's Christian music, it should be, you know, directed to Christ. But that's not always the case. Under the context of what we see today out there is referred to as Christian music. Below it, it's everything below it. That's not always is praising and glorifying God. Right? And that I'm not talking there just about these guys where you see singing with what you call musical instrument. I'm talking also about the ones where do it without it too. Right? The ones that do it without it also. Well, the first and foremost, primarily goal of music is to glorify God. It is to worship Him. It's to praise Him. It's to lift up the name of Jesus. And in doing so, we edify each other. We encourage each other. Right? We find ourselves being lifted up in His Spirit. David says in Psalms 9:2, he said, I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name. To who? Thy name, O thou most high. And Psalms 21 verse 13 said, be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength. So we will sing and praise thy power. Psalms 28 verse 7 said, the Lord is my strength, my shield, my heart trusted in Him. And I am helped, therefore my heart greatly rejoice, and with my song will I praise Him. Praise Him, praise Him. Praise the Lord, this is Psalms 32 verse 2 and 3, says, praise the Lord with harp, sing unto Him with psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto Him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. Woohoo. Well, when someone gets saved, someone gets born again, what comes out of him? Praise. Praise to his Lord. Praise to his Creator. Praise to his Maker. You know, we're musical beings. So, a result of salvation is praise. Praise to who? Praise to our Lord. And it doesn't stop there. It continues to be that way throughout our lives. We give praise. We give praise to Him. We give praise and glory to Him in our singing. In Psalms 41 and 3, said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Verse 3 says, in Psalms 40 verse 3, and He had put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. That's how it happens, right? We praise Him. Others see the glorify our Father which is in heaven. Right? So real Christian music praises the Lord, not man. But we see today, also out there where it is not always that way under the context of Christian music. We see this praise going up to man. Yeah. You see that. You see people even screaming with affection after these musicians, Christian musicians. We want to beware that we don't participate in something like that. We don't want to. You see, yeah, there's just so many things there that you could see. This isn't geared to Christ. Yes, this is coming on the in that clothing, right, of Christianity. It's coming in the clothing of Christianity, but as you really peek into it and look at it, you're just like, man, how could he allow people to be screaming after him with affection? We want to beware. We don't want to participate in things like that. It tells us that that is an abomination to the Lord. Man's worship is an abomination to the Lord. Hey, you know who knows about it? The enemy knows about it, right? Satan knows about it. And our desire and tendency within us is we want to be appreciated. We want to be loved. We want to be accepted. Right? But we have to be very careful. Very careful in how we allow that thing in our life. If it steers us and drives us, it takes us down a road of destruction. Right? And the enemy knows that, and he pushes you in that area too. He encourages you in that area. Luke 16 verse 15, he said, "And he said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your heart. He said, For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." So you justify yourself before men with saying, "Well, it's Christian." But God is judging your heart. God is judging your heart. That which is highly esteemed among men, he said, it's an abomination to him. It's detesting. I quote here, Keith Green, quote, "So why do we idolize Christian singers and speakers? We go from glorifying musicians in the world to glorifying Christian musicians. It's idolatry. Satan is getting a great victory as we seem to worship, you know, these ministers on tapes and CDs and records, and clamor to get their autographs and in churches and concert halls from coast to coast." End of quote. Keith Green. We know that this is one of Satan's goals, right? He is there to try and push us to glorify man. He's there within us to try and push us to glorify ourselves. We need to draw a line and say, no. Crucify that flesh. Right? People, some under that cloak again of Christianity, even is going as far as leaving out Jesus. Deliberately leaving out Jesus' name in their singing, in their albums, their CDs. They leave out Jesus' name deliberately. They confess it with their own mouths. You read the statistics, what they say, the recordings, you listen to it, you know, and the purpose in why they do it. I'm like, in John 12, verse 42, it said, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believe on Him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praises of men more than the praises of God. So Christian music, godly music, should be that praise, glorify, brings worship to Him. Not man. And we don't even want to participate in that also. See, Christian music is for the Lord. It is for Him. It's not for the world. It's a song, it's a music, it's something that is played and sung to Him. Ephesians 5:19 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. To the Lord. It's first and foremost to Him. Colossians 3:16 said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Psalms 9:11 says, sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people His doings. In Isaiah 12, verse 2, he summed it up pretty wonderfully there. He said, the Lord Jehovah is my song. He's my song. He's the one that gave it to me, and I sing it back to Him. Right? So behold God, you find that in Isaiah 12:2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. And by the way, if there's anything I said and you're kind of like, it best you write it down. Be nice if you write it down, because there's a lot of things I want to say this morning, and I really wouldn't want you to just kind of hold that one in your hands and can't hear the others. Just write it down and approach me later and ask me about it. If it's something you want to ask someone else about it, ask them too. I'm not limiting it just to me. So, the primary purpose of music and praise, it should be geared towards the Lord and not to the world, right? It's the preaching of the Word that's going to save. It's the preaching of the Word that's going to save, right? And with saying that, I'm not limiting that singing does not minister to an unsaved person or speak truth to their heart or something like that. No, but the goal of it should be to praise God. It's for Him. It's not for the world. It's for Him. This is how God ordained it, that the preaching in 1 Corinthians 1:21, it said, For after that is the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, and it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And so, we have to understand, because a lot of the singers today that are out there, what we call mainstream Christianity, they're singing to the world, right? They say that with their own mouths, right? Many of them. And I'm not misquoting them here or just saying I think. I'm quoting what they said. And I'm just trying to bring out that point that it's the preaching of the Word. He says that's what is there to go out and save souls. That's what is there to go out and present to others. Not limiting that singing cannot do it. Right? And in 1 Corinthians 2:14 he said, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. Is the Bible true? For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. You know, and some do it to try and be friendly to the world. And he tells us, friendship with the world is enmity with God. The Word of God told us that. It said, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Christian music is for the Lord. You find that verse in James 4, verse 4. And we find also that godly music or Christian music is birthed in our hearts as we get born again, right? It's a new song. It's a new song. Christian music should be a new song. With saying that, I'm saying, it tells us, old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. I'm a new creation, I'm a new creature in Him, right? I'm something new in Christ. And so, my songs change. My song should change from the world to that of godly music, to builds up and lifts up my spirit in Him, to that is based on godly principles. As He put this new song in my heart, which Psalms 41:3 said, He had put, verse 3 said, and He had put a new song after He pulled me out of this miry clay, after He set my feet upon a rock to see. He saved me, delivered me, pulled me out of my predicament, put me on the narrow path. He gives me a new song, and it's a song of praise to Him. A new song. Say, any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Psalms 144 and verse 9 said, I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon a psaltery and an instrument's a 10 string will I sing praise unto thee. Psalms 149 verse 1 said, praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and His praise in the congregation of the saints. You know, and many of us, you find it, many out there try to hang on to the old. Bring it in across the line where they say they're in the new and mix it. And mix it. We need to get that old, sensual, earthly, devilish music totally out of our lives. What does it evoke in me? The music I embrace, the music I promote, the music I listen to, the music I appreciate. What does it invoke in me? 2 Corinthians 6:17 said, wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And people think they just take it casually. I could listen to ungodly music, like in a casual sense. Music is very powerful. If you didn't know, it is very powerful. We can't take it lightly. You're on a battleground. I quote here Dr. Hal Webb. He said, when Christian music carries the beat, the instrumentation and the exact songs of lost crowd, it results in confusion and shame. It is shameful to use musicians who in a shallow song days, instead of praise, they entertain. Instead of train, they transfer. Who entertain instead of train, they transfer the worship owed to Christ. They transfer it. They transfer this praise and this glory and this worship that belongs to Christ. They move it over to our money-hungry entertainers, concert hopping, who has never left the world far behind to stop sounding like it. Say, all things are passed away, brothers, sisters. All things are passed away. Christian music is a new song. It's not the old songs. It's not the old song in the sense of that from the old life. That from the old man. That adheres to the old man. We want also in our music that it's clear. It's a clear message. It's not vague or deceptive. Those are the music we want, right? That the message is clear. In 1 Corinthians 14:15, he said, What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding also. So I want to be clear. I want to be understood. What my message, as I sing Christian music, godly music, I want my message to be clear, not vague and deceptive. The enemy is using, under the cloak of Christianity, Christian music, is bringing out a vague and deceptive message to many today. We got to beware. We want to hold up our heads. We want to watch. And now some of them, you can't even understand the message that they're singing. And also, the message, even if you understand the message, it should be clear and spiritually sung with biblical principles. Right? Because you could sing a clear message that is distorted, it's not true. You want it that it contains word. You know, you ask yourself, does it contain words that are worthwhile in meaning? Or are they contrary to what is decent and scripturally right? So the music should be clear. The message should be clear. And Christian music should emphasize the message. Godly music emphasize the message and not the musician or the music. Psalm 66 and verse 2 says, sing forth honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. Make His praise known. His praise. His honor. His glory. You know, Christian music should give all the glory and honor to the Lord. Can you find that in your collection of music that you have, you embrace or you like? As you analyze it with an honest heart, not a judgmental spirit to an individual. But as you analyze it before God, can you see that this is giving all the glory and the honor to the Lord? Screams of admiration towards these musicians. And you take it lightly? You take it lightly? You know, spiritually speaking, the Christian musician should hide in Christ. And that affects us too. Speakers, teachers, preachers. You know, we're sharing something as to not to promote ourselves, so not to bring honor to ourselves, as not to bring glory to ourselves, but hide behind Christ as we try and promote Him, His principle, His ways. We need to guard our hearts from that. We stand behind Him and not try to draw attention to ourselves. Many under the cloak of Christianity today out there singing people, they're drawing attention to themselves deliberately. And when it does come, they drink of it like, whew. Did you? Brother, let's beware. You know, we want to ask ourselves, you know, is the message the focus as we sing? Is the music I have promotes this kind? Is Christ, the Lord Jesus, the focus, the preeminence in my music? Or is it the musician? Or is it the music? And now we know that there are three basic elements in music. The melody, the harmony, and the rhythm. Right? The melody carries the message. The harmony brings that blend.
harmony. It's beautiful, right? It brings that blend together. And rhythm is the pulse, the part that makes it moves and flow. And all three are good. All three are good. You know? Without rhythm, there's no life. You know, that part that takes the music. Melody is which carries the message. And as you look at the melody, is it carrying the message of Christ? Is it carrying a message that is scripturally sung, you know, and biblical? Harmony is the one that brings it together, right? These three are important, but it must be in its proper order. The enemy has flipped that today and made rhythm the bigger part. You make rhythm the bigger part. And so you ask yourself, you know, about music. Well, what's the part about the music that appeals to me? Is it the rhythm? Or is it the message? And you find it. Whenever it's the rhythm, the message that works with your spirit, it's dead. It's dead. And so that you wonder why I could listen to a song that the message in there is good, but it's not amplified. It's the rhythm that is amplified, right? The harmony is there, which works with my soul. The rhythm works with my body, right? Rhythm works with your body, right? You know, it's taking the music. That's what brings life to the music. It works with your body. But whenever that takes the forefront, melody gets the back seat. And so you could find that the music gets to your soul too, right? The emotions, the body and the emotions. The spirit is dead. Many times it's that way. And then you walk away. Well, how come I drive for a half an hour listening to a music where the message itself was good? Right? The message in the back was good. But rhythm had been turned around and amplified so much. And then when you close your door or your car, you walk in the workplace, right away you begin to feel disturbed about the boss all over again. Or some worker that didn't do something here, like, where's the power? Where's the power? Was your spirit connecting with the message? Was your spirit connecting with Christ? You know? And that's, you have to see that in music, right? We want the message to be the things that our spirit adhere to. The enemy flipped that thing today. Rhythm is the goal. That's music. We shouldn't emphasize that. We should emphasize the message, which is Christ. And not the musician. Not the guy that goes up here and, or not the guy that plays. Those shouldn't be the emphasis. But watch it, evaluate it in your own life. What? Yeah, which trend was I down? Which road was I down? Which road am I on as I look at music? Said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And the people in both camp, if you want to call it two camps, so to speak, the musical, the instrumentals, and the non one, they both are candidates of that, having music as a god before God. Right? And so we can't say we're okay. We have to ask God to analyze and dissect us. Lord, you dissect me and see, am I okay in this area of music? Because what is coming under the cloak of Christianity does not always is in line with Bible. I mean, Satan, he comes and he mixes truth with lies. But any formula would tell you that in science, right? Or in common sense, put it that way. Truth with lies equal lies. You know, H2O, water, with a little bit of, what's something you spray your plants with, Ron? Roundup. That's a dangerous one. But H2O, right? With a small fraction of Roundup, what does it equal? Purify water? Distill water? No, poison. Right? So, we just want to guard our hearts. That's my encouragement to you this morning in this area of music. We want to guard our hearts. We want to be careful. Also in the area of music there, I was thinking how, you remember back in the Old Testament, the emphasis on music today is so hard in many ways that you feel like without it, you can't even reach God. And I'm talking instrumental here now. You're feeling like without it, you can't reach God. You can't touch God. I mean, I can't touch God without hearing some clinging, stringing, banging, whatever. Beware, it becomes a golden calf. You remember the incident back in the Old Testament there when Moses went up on the hill and Exodus chapter 19, 18, 19, 20, Moses went up on the hill and the Mount Sinai and these people, they created a golden calf. You know what their intentions were? They wanted to reach God. They wanted to reach God. Some God that is out there. And so, but they feel like this was their means, their channel, their medium in which they meet Him. And many times you find that we're like, I can't be spiritual if I don't have my stringing, clanging, banging. I can't be spiritual if I don't have my your do, re, mi in that own category too, right? Boat camps. And we want to guard our hearts from it, right? We want to guard our hearts from things like that. Putting that emphasis and then allowing that to then become a golden calf in our life. I need to reach God. I need to reach God. I need a high. I need a pump. You know? I need a good fix. And many times we go for a fix at music. And when I say music, I'm talking the part that adheres to our body. And not so much the message, the rhythm. Right? In that area. Beware, music could become a golden calf in your life. And if it is, God shows you that today. Repent of it. Say, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song and His praise in the congregation of the saints. This is where it is beautiful in the congregation of the saints, right? The enemy is trying to take it out. He's trying to take it out and emphasize it out there in the concert halls and out there in the clubs. And I'm not saying that it's wrong for you to go out there and sing in the concert halls, or go out there and sing on Victoria Street. But you see that drifting, that pulling of, it's there. And you know what that's doing? Also, many of these musicians, they don't come into the local church because a love offering isn't good enough for them. Put a price on it, commercialize the gospel. I'm not putting all of them in that. But there's some, I mean, you're like, the fruits just shows this. Right? Say, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the congregation. Will I praise thee? Psalms 22:22. Hebrews 2:12 says, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church, I will sing praise unto thee. So, let's do it that way.
Let's sing praise unto Him. If we go to Victoria, if we go to the concert hall, some hall, and we sing, let's be careful that we do not commercialize the gospel and let it become profiteering. We want to guard our hearts from that. And we don't want to support that either. We don't want to flirt around with that. We don't want to promote that. Also, Christian music, godly music, should feed the spirit, not the flesh. Christian life is a spiritual life. A Christian is born again of the Spirit. John 3, 6 and 7 says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Period. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Period. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. A Christian is to walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. God is a Spirit, and you must worship Him in spirit. John. And John 4:24, you find that. You must worship Him in spirit and in truth. A Christian should be spiritual, not carnal. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians 14:15 says, I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit. Some may say that the Bible doesn't give guidelines to music. You still think so? But, you know, in Ephesians 5 and in Colossians 3, those both, they tell us a little bit about music there. These are types of Christian songs and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And these things should feed our spirit. These songs, these psalms should feed our spirit. This hymn should feed our spirit. This spiritual song should feed our spirit, not the flesh. As a Christian, the flesh should be crucified. Galatians 5:24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affection and the lust. So godly music should first and foremost appeal to my spirit. Said the spirit and the flesh, they're two different camps. They're contrary. They're enemies. The flesh lusted, Galatians 5:16. Flesh lusted against the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another. It couldn't be clearer. It couldn't be clearer, right? Christian music should feed the spirit. So if you have music and it's not feeding your spirit, please don't call it Christian music. Even if somebody else labeled it that. Put it in the right camp. You know, you find in today in what they call rock music. And what they call rock music, it seems to adhere more to the flesh than to the spirit. As you look at it, we want to be careful. We want to be careful. You look at it. The world does not love spiritual things. Why do they love rock music? Because it's appealing to the flesh. It's appealing to the flesh. Tells us, I read that verse before already, that foolish man, he cannot... the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. I read this quote here from a Russian church. They sent this over to America a couple months ago. In a publication, the church at In Russia, they
together, the pastors, they sent this letter to the U.S. Listen, quote, "For years, we Russian persecuted Christians have suffered persecution. And now freedom is bringing another great harm to our churches. This damage is coming from the Christians in America who are sending rock music and evangelists accompanied by rock bands. Our young people do not attend these meetings because we have all committed not to participate in secular entertainment. This is a great burden on our hearts. Many came from America with Bible in hand and rock music. We are embarrassed by this image of Christianity. We do not know what words to use in urging that this would be stopped. We abhor all Christian rock music coming to our country. Rock music has nothing in common with ministry or service to God. So we are very, very against Christian Americans bringing to our country this false image of ministry to God. We need spiritual bread. Please give us bread, not false cake. It is true that rock music attracts people to the church, but not to godly living. We were in prison for years for Christ's sake. We were not allowed to have Christian music, but rock music was used as a weapon against us day and night to destroy our souls. We could only resist with much prayer and fasting. Now, we have a time of more openness, not so persecuted anymore, and we are no longer taken to prison. However, now it is Christians from America who damage our souls. We do not allow this music in our churches, but they rent big stadiums and infect teenagers and others with their rock music. We, the leadership and congregations of the unregistered union of churches, the former persecuted church, have made an agreement not to allow rock music in our churches. We urge you to join with us, and we advise you to remove rock music from America and certainly not to bring it to our country. Do not desecrate our teenagers with it. Even the unbelievers recognize it as unholy music, and they cannot understand how American Christians can be so much like the world. We can give you the conclusion that after Russian believers have attended these rock concerts, Russian unbelievers have attended these rock concerts where Christ's word was preached, and the concert, they were disappointed and disillusioned with Christianity. We call this music from hell. We urge all Americans to stop giving money to send such concerts to Russia. We want only traditional Christian music in our churches. This is the unanimous decision of all our leaders." End of quote. We want something that feeds our spirit, not our flesh. You think it's hard to discern what godly music is? Maybe you felt like so far you couldn't even, maybe you didn't even know where you were on the era of music, right? And you just didn't know where to begin to look, and with all the confusion. I trust that with what I'm sharing this morning, there's a little seed plant in your heart to look out. If nothing else, look out. Watch. Open your heart to, what is this thing doing? Is it praising God or praising man, you know? Which category is this music fitting in? Ungodly. Totally ungodly. Okay, I have nothing to do with that, you know. Hypocritical. Or is it truth mixed with lies? Or is it godly? Words must be true to the Bible. The music must sound like and remind people, must not sound like and remind people of the world. Music must honor and glorify our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the name above every name. The musicians must be also dedicated to the Lord.
that they would do everything with everything possible, including dress and music style, not to attract the attentions to themselves. Some even dress to attract attentions to themselves. But that the Lord would be magnified, Jesus would be magnified. And see, that is an important thing too. You know, with being a musician, you gotta be dedicated to the Lord, because it's a talent that you're displaying. Right? A talent is a gift. The difference between a gift and a talent is a gift is something that is given supernaturally. You know, the gifts of the Spirit is given supernaturally from the head or the body, Christ. A talent is also a gift because it's from God. But a talent takes practice. It takes energy. It takes time for it to improve, for it to grow. Right? And a talent that a musician has, he must be aware. And he has to be dedicated to the Lord. Otherwise, he will use that talent in a way, like it says in one of the Gospels, he talks about the man took in his talent, he put it in a hanky. And where he put it? In the earth. One put it in the earth. And that's what people are doing today. Taking their talent, just making it earthly. Earthly. We want to be aware. If we are musicians, be dedicated. Everyone should be dedicated, for that matter, to the Lord, right? But because if you're not, you bring your carnality that you have, and you're going to infect others with it. Is there carnality affecting you? Those that are not dedicated to the Lord. Those musicians that are not dedicated to their Lord, to the Lord. Is their carnality affecting you in your walk today? They try to mix this thing. They try to borrow it from the world. They try to copy the world, look like the world, sound like the world, and then label it Christian. How? One of the strongest evidence of admiration is imitation. You find yourself want to imitate these fellows, look like them, sound like them, act like them. You better make sure that they're dedicated to the Lord. Right? You better make sure that they're dedicated to the Lord. So we cannot mix light with darkness. It's logical. Right? Or maybe I should put it this way. Is it logical for us to take what God hates and what God loves, mix it, and try and mix it. Try and mix it. Oil and water. So what concord has light with darkness, right? Christ with Belial. Bible tells us clearly, if something is of the world, it is God's enemy. We live on this earth as God's representative, right? We gotta be dedicated to Him. We live on this earth as His representative. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, it tells us that we're ambassadors of Christ. We're not ambassadors of this world and its music. So don't promote it. Don't pass it on. Don't encourage it. We're ambassadors of Christ. Promote godly music. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you might proclaim the excellency of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Are you walking in the light? 1 Peter 2:9. We're not a darkness people. Let's not flirt with darkness. Let's not flirt with darkness and promote darkness. In Isaiah 5 verse 1, he said, "Woe to those who sing and play but have no regard for the Lord." Hypocritical. Comes close home, doesn't it? Comes close home.
Yeah. I think that's the one that affects me the most. Personally speaking, the hypocritical music. Cain came with his soul. Abel came with his spirit to connect with God. And God rejected Cain. He received Abel's sacrifice. So the condition, if your heart and my heart tells how God is going to receive that worship, that praise, that glorifying that you're giving to Him, that's where I'm saying that's the era that I think affects me personally the most, the hypocritical, right? Wherever it does you, the Lord show you. So we want to draw a line, right? You need to draw a line. Draw a line in the sand. Let the Word of God draw the line in the sand for you. And I trust that that did somewhat today for you, if it didn't before. And then as the line is there, you know, we said, well, there's a thin line. And indeed, perhaps, there's areas that we might say is a thin line. Right? But why would we want to play on that thin line? Why would we want to stay close to that line? So that we just get sucked over across the line. Right? Let's stay, as we draw the line, let's stay as close as possible to God. Let's stay as close as possible to what is sung and biblical and truth. Let's stay more on this side. Then play around close to the line there and get the chalk dust, if you're drawing with the chalk, get the chalk dust on your shoes. Or became, when you draw the line in the sand and you play around with the line, next thing you know, you don't know where the line is anymore. And then the next thing you know, there is no line. Doesn't it happen? Yes, it does. Haven't you seen people that it happened to? Yes, and you wonder, well, how come he had a line here? And then there's no line there anymore. And what you did believe also was in line. His line was in line with God's Word. But then there's no line there anymore. He played with the line. Erased it out of the sand. There's no more line there anymore. And then you're like, it could happen to us. Perhaps it's happening to us. The flood comes in and it washes away the line. If you doubt about your music, then perhaps you should put it aside. Talk to a godly brother. And when I say that, I mean somebody mature. Maybe ask them, what do you think about this music? If you don't know, the ones you do know, you make a clear decision, right? Allow the Lord dissect you and show you. You say, what is not of faith is sin. And as we look at the era of music, we also have to participate in what we call the law of love, too. In 1 Corinthians 14, right? Does my music allow my brother to stumble? Brotherhood, you know, and being in that bond of having brotherly love together should be way higher than music. Right? And when I say music there, I'm talking about the different kind of little, what one might like a little added more than the other one would. Because godly music should be a part of our lives. If you're created in His image, you're one of His sons. You're going to love His music. You ought to. You're going to make it in your hearts too, right? Because He puts it there as you get born again. So we want to be careful what could cause someone else to stumble too. Let the law of love rule in our hearts. You ask yourself, well, can we have a variety of music? Yes. It tells us,
you know, in Ephesians, and also in Colossians, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. And that covered the whole spectrum of whatever is godly music. I mean, what I'm saying there is, you might think, I like another variety than that. Any sub would come right underneath that. Can I say so? Correct me if I'm wrong. You know, psalms, it's singing, it's basically singing the word of God. Because as Paul referred to the psalms, that was like their hymn book, right? And for those that were living under the old covenant and just into the new, the book of Psalms was a song book. They sang it, right? And Paul was referring, he said, Psalms, which is singing the word of God, hymns, songs that are scripturally sung. You know, they have strong and great doctrinal truths. That's hymns, right? The hymns there that way. And these spiritual songs is which express my personal testimony. As I singing it back to Him, spiritual song, right? But all of this variety must confirm to God's standard. It must be in line with His character and the nature and who God is. You could call it then godly music. You could classify it as then true Christian music. Christ-like music, you know. Little Christ music. Whatever we do, we want to do all to the glory of God. And I'd say, like it says in Revelations 2:29, say, he that had an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit say to the church. May the Lord bless. Thank you.